Good evening. Good to be with you this evening to bring another portion of thy word to you. Appreciate the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak to you tonight. This evening lesson is entitled, Rise Up and Walk. As I begin this sermon, I want to look at a man who heard those wonderful words and was able to rise up and walk. If you will, turn to Acts chapter 3. As Peter and John entered the temple, there's a man there who is begging for any help of any kind that any man can give him. His situation is so sad. His whole world is no bigger than the mat that he lays on. He would love to see more of the world, but he can't. He is totally dependent upon others to carry him wherever he goes. Turn to Acts 4:24. Let's see just how long this man was lame. Acts 4:22 says, "For the man was over 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed." He had been lame for over 40 years. I'll tell you, that's a long time. His legs have never lifted him high, lifted him up. But got a question for you. Can you imagine how frail and weak his legs might have were? But on this particular day, when this miracle was performed, everything is about to change in his world. Change as he knows it. Turn to Acts 3, verse 6 through 10, which I appreciate. Justin asking me this morning what to read. Appreciate him reading the first 10 verses. Acts 3, 6 through 10. And let's see what Peter does when he sees this man. Verse 6, beginning, says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" There's a phrase. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked." And was in the temple with them walking, leaping, and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter healed this lame man. He told him to arise and walk, and lifted him up. And he had never walked before. As you noticed, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Don't you know that he was very weak. His ankle bones would have been weak. When your ankle bones and feet be weak, if you had laid lame for 40 years. But turn to, or look at verse 16 of chapter 3. It says, and his name through faith in the name have made the man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Did you know it's Jesus who really made it possible for this man to be healed? Nobody else. Yes, Peter performed the miracle, but Jesus made it possible. Maybe you can't feel what that man felt on that day when finally he could rise up and walk. But I really, truly can tell you what life is all about. And it was very, very encouraging when I was studying this lesson to prepare. He didn't know what it was like before that day, but I can understand. Due to complication at birth, 37 years ago today, I was born with cerebral palsy, as most of you know. My mother and daddy have carried me ever since, from day one. And they have carried me ever since. And also, I have friends at this congregation and others that have helped carry me in so many ways, so many aspects. They helped me to be able to preach the Word of God. I had never risen very high or never walked really except by walker or help. But, and like I said, this is, I've been in this condition for 37 years today. But beside that, here's what I want to get across to you tonight. There is just so much that, so many things that I can rise and do, and you can rise and do. And first of all, I can arise and be baptized and wash away my sins. Turn to Acts 22 and verse 16. Acts 22 and verse 16. It's a very familiar passage to us all. This is Saul of Tarsus, which later became Paul. And he says, or the Christian says, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And so this is Saul of Tarsus. The Lord told him what he must do, and he did it. We all know what God did with him after he became a Christian. He became a great warrior for the cause of Christ. 25 and a half years ago, the gospel convicted me of my sins. And I was baptized, and Jesus saved me at that time. What I did on a Sunday afternoon, I told my dad and mother, and I believe Amy Lomax was at the house, and I told them what I wanted to do, and Daddy and I talked about it, and he carried me down the steps to a backyard pool that we had. Whenever I did decide, we talked about it for a while, and I decided, and he lowered me beneath the waters, and was baptized, went underneath the water, and contacted the blood of Christ and washed away my sins. Turn to Colossians 2:12-13. Colossians 2:12-13. And let's see whose hands were at work or are at work when we are baptized. Colossians 2:12-13 says, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him up, raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Daddy may have been holding me and putting me under the water, but it was God's hands that was at work. God added me that very day to His church, to one of the saved. What a great feeling that was that day. And I thank Vance for leading it as well with my soul. He did not know that went very well with my sermon, but it did, and thank you. What a great day feeling that was. My body was still not well, but it was well with my soul. So I ask you tonight, what about you? Is it well with your soul? Do you need to rise up and wash away your sins? You can do it. Rise up. Second, I can rise up and walk in newness of life. Turn to Romans 6 and verse 4. Romans 6 and verse 4. I think we all know what happens in baptism. We are dying to sin. We bury that old man with Christ. But I want us to notice from Romans 6 and 4 what happens next. It said, Romans 6, 4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. For that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We rise and walk in newness of life. Have you arose and walked in newness of life? When I was baptized, I rose up to walk in newness of life. And I must not let the old Jamie come back to life. I must not live like the old Jamie did. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And let's see what we are when we are baptized and have risen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we are baptized and when we arrive to walk in newness of life, we are a new creature. We put away that old man. Turn to Ephesians 4:22-24. Ephesians 4 22 through 24. It says that you, putting off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grow corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I must keep off the old man and live for heaven every day. Not let the old man come back. I must put him off. Turn to look at Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I may not can walk physically, but I tell you what I can do. I can walk worthy of the calling of our Lord. How about you this evening? Are you walking worthy of the calling of the Lord? I hope that you are. Another question. Have you risen up to walk in new life? Are you still living like a new man? Can people see Jesus living in you? So I ask you to really examine yourself. Are you rising up for people to see it, the difference Jesus can make in your life? Or are you hurting the cause of Christ? We need to really think about that. Think about it. Third, I can rise up and build. Turn to Nehemiah 2:17-18. Nehemiah 2:17-18. Nehemiah 2:17-18. It says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire, and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me So they said, "Let us rise and build." Then they set their hands to do to this good work. This is what Nehemiah told God, God's people, to do. When the city of God was in a terrible state, and the walls needed to be rebuilt. Look at Nehemiah 2:15-16. Just two verses up from where we read earlier. Nehemiah 2:15-16 says, "So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate. And so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work." Do you remember how many days that it took Nehemiah and his workers or people to rebuild these walls? 52 days. 52 days is a month and about 22 days. Let's say roughly about a month and a half, maybe a little over. That is remarkable. 52 days. That's not very long. He had the walls rebuilt in Jerusalem in 52 days. That's not very long at all. So, but the most important work on this planet today is the work of the church. I can rise up to do my part in that work. Well, we have lit at this church for people to sign up and do, like teach a Bible class, clean the building. That is, and other things, that is all a part of getting what needs to be done here at the building, get it ready for services. There's yard cleaning to do. There's several things. And you may not be a preacher. You may not can lead singing or any of that. But what about you? Can you rise up and help in that regard? In cleaning the building, taking care of the communion, whatever you can do. God needs you, and we need you. And if you can, too many people give excuses for not doing it, what they can do for a church. And we must not do that. Turn to Matthew 20, 21, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 21, 21 and 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. If you let God remove the mountains and help you, He wants to help you. But will you let Him do that? He has removed many mountains for myself. Even speaking is a mountain for me. But God is helping me, and He can help you with whatever your mountain is. Can you rise up and be a builder in the church here at Oakland? Can you see the need? Question, will you rise? Fourth, I can rise up and fight for what is right. Turn to Nehemiah 4:14. Nehemiah 4:14. It says, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. It is very distressing to me to see and hear of the sinful things that are going on in this country. For example, homosexuality, that is very rampant in this country today. And that is wrong as wrong can be. And it's simple. And our kids, grandkids, and their kids are going to be faced with that. These things will affect our children and do affect our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. So let's rise up and fight and for what is right, and let the people know that these are not good things at all. That's what Nehemiah 4:14 is trying to say. We need to fight for what is right. we sing the song, Rise Up, O Child of God. And we thank Vance again for doing that. Turn to Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Says, Ephesians 6, verse 13, says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We as children of Christ and Christians, need to rise up and be a warrior for the cause of Christ and put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand firm. And you don't have to get on national TV to make a difference. Just tell people around you what the Bible says. We don't have to be a televangelist. Of course, our TV, television filled with evangelists, with filth. And the wrong kind of preaching, and we need to be able to discern between what they're preaching and what we are preaching. Next, I can rise early and pray. Turn to Mark 1, verse 35. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Praying is the smartest thing that we can do to fight the devil. God is powerful and can accomplish, and we can accomplish so much by praying and by building a relationship with God and Christ by praying. I need to ask for the things that I need to intercede for others. Can you rise early and pray? Jesus did. Question, do you do that? Do you rise and pray early before you get your day started every day? Or do you rise up and go on about your business? Right here in the very chair that I'm in, I am I can help the church, help me and others out by praying to the sovereign God that is available all over the universe as long as we will let him. In conclusion, there's just so much more I could have said about rising up. The phrase "rise up" is found 57 times in the Bible. There's even more we need to rise up and do for the Lord. I don't know what you're feeling, but don't feel sorry for me the way I am. But I tell you, the people I do feel sorry for. Number one, I feel sorry for those who do not know what life is all about. Second, I feel sorry for those who do not yet know just how much God loves them. Third, I feel sorry for those who have not yet become Christians. They are missing out on so much. Fourth, I feel sorry for those who have become Christians and they sit and do very little when they have the ability to do so much more. Jesus deserves better. And when life is over, and if I have been faithful to God and all of us, on that day, I'm gonna be able to rise up and walk and stand beside Jesus and live for him. What about you this evening? Are you living faithfully? Are you rising up? Have you walked according to his ways? If not, we plead with you this afternoon to rise up and become a Christian today while you got breath. Or if you have been a Christian and you've fallen away, but you realize you need to come back to the Lord, why not do that right now while we stand and sing the song that's been announced?
Almost persuaded.